You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Mr. President, you're...
I'm fine.
Come on, guys. This is a man's world. This is a man's world. But it would be nothing. Nothing. Without a woman or a girl.
Welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. My name is Dion.
Are you sure?
It could be. It's definitely. Oh, no. My name is Agent Too Fitty. Because
excellent.
I look forward
to hearing more from Agent Too Fitty.
I ain't as good as Agent 420, and I'm nowhere near Agent 355.
Yeah.
How does that make sense? Who are you all, okay, lovely people?
I'm Agent 69 and I'm
90.
Yeah.
Damn it. I got nothing.
I don't think any number gags can really top that one.
No.
No.
I mean, Peter, you'd obviously, I don't know, what number would you be? Pick a number, Peter. Who are you?
Pick a number, what, between like
any number.
Just 10.
Oh, yes, okay. Yes, that is right, Peter. You are the perfect 10. You are like Bo Derek.
Oh, that's lovely.
She is a 10.
And Quinny, obviously.
Damn Skippy.
Quinny, obviously, down there is
and,
Agent 86.
I'm the monkey called Ampersand.
No, you're Agent you're Agent 86.
Oh,
yeah, sorry about that, Chief.
Yeah, missed the monkey by that much.
Which is, funnily enough, pretty funny. I'm just going to make it look like so you're going to be talking into Yorick's, Ampersand's little... skull on screen. There you go. Your microphone has been overlaid with Ampersand dressed as a Shakespearean monkey holding a skull.
Alas, poor Yorick. He's the lead of this show.
Yes, I mean, like, there's so much to draw from. I found that picture of Ampersand and I was like, that's from the cover. That's from the comic. I remember.
From the comic.
I'm going to put that on the TV. Yeah.
And this, dear friends, is why all the men are dying. Because we are stupid.
Oh, dear. What are we talking about today?
Why? The Last Man.
Because oh God. The last explanation.
Yes. We're talking about Why the Last Man, which finally has graced television screens, which you can watch on.
Oh God, Peter.
I'm just making butt why jokes in the chat. That's what's happening there.
We really need an emote just for but why.
Are you really making jokes in the chat, are you? Because I've already made that happen on screen, so suck it.
I'm not looking at the stream go out. I find it really confusing to see my face saying things that I'm no longer currently saying because it was 30 seconds ago.
Yeah. Well, I've got a speech bubble on hand that just says but why straight for you. Pre-made.
Amazing.
I'd like you to know that. I thought, what's Peter going to say during this thing? Definitely, but why?
Oh, it's coming.
Yeah, yeah, I'll turn it off now. Okay, so we won't use it. We will use it sporadically, not all the time.
Right. And I'm trying to look at the stream on my phone because currently I don't want to risk damaging my internet in any way, shape, or form. So I will just use the data from my phone. I just want to see the but why because I'm in mod view, so I can't see shit.
Oh, well, all right. Save it for later. You can come back and review.
That would mean... but. Like watching it twice.
You could rate your performance, Quinny.
Well, if I'm going to critique my performance, we may be here sometime.
Yes. And of course, there's a lot of but why jokes. There's no buts in this unless we get to see Yorick's butt.
I was going to say, in the first episode, there was a fair amount of butt.
Sure. I think we've gotten a little slightly off topic here.
No, we haven't.
How?
We're perfectly fine. We're talking about butt why. I mean, but why? Sorry.
But why?
For sake.
That's how I like to think of you, Yorick. That's,
he's a butt wipe.
Butt wipe.
What is Why the Last Man? Why the Last Man, based on the comic book from 2002, is almost 20 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, right. So a comic book that came out around the turn of the millennia. It's better
when you turn of the century. That doesn't immediately
the turn of the millennia has much more importance. But yeah, we had Why the Last Man was a really great graphic novel written by Brian K. Vaughan and illustrated amazingly by Pierre Guerra and a few other people, which I just won't rattle off their names. There's lots there. You can look it up. It's fine. But it was a great comic book series in that whole vein of post-apocalyptic comic book series that eventually sort of came. But this is one of the most interesting
ones. From which publisher, though?
Well, technically it was DC, but it's DC Vertigo.
Yeah.
So Vertigo doesn't exist
anymore. Love me
some
Vertigo.
And Vertigo's always had a great ability to, you know, provide us with interesting stories. Of course, the same comic imprint that gave us The Sandman and a whole bunch of other really interesting ones. And, you know, Why the Last Man was something that was kind of crying out to be adapted. And it was a slight shame, I think, with the fan base that Why the Last Man was adapted after The Walking Dead. Yeah, but even though they're two very different kind of things, they had that sense of, you know, post-apocalyptic Americana, who are the real monsters, what's going on. But finally, it's been made into a television series.
After many, many attempts.
Many different attempts, including like
there was
Bryan
an
Singer
attempt at doing a film in 2008.
Yep.
That was at one point going to have Shia LaBeouf as Yorick. Yeah.
Yep.
But with Alicia Keys as Agent 355, I was like, okay. All right.
I want to talk about Ampersand because that was kind of one of the things that held up the production.
That they couldn't
earlier
get
productions. just about being able to train a monkey. That was a big problem with trying to train a monkey.
Aren't there a lot of capuchin monkeys in Hollywood that they could just, you know, use?
Yeah, but you see, Ampersand has like a story. It's very clear that Ampersand is an individual monkey. Anyway, look, hey.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Like there are multiple attempts at films. There is a Portuguese film that was made in 2011, like a short feature. So I think it's half an hour long or thereabouts. And then there are multiple attempts as well at, so there was 2007 or 2007, 8, 2012, 2013 for the films, and then TV series as attempts in 2010 to 2015. And then in 2018, they FX announced that they'd ordered the pilot. So it's been hanging around. It's one of those properties that's kind of like, yeah, we want it. We've just got to work out how the fuck to make it.
Yeah. And you've got to have the right cast and it's got to go through, you know, whatever iterations that is required and, you know, whether or not they're happy with it. And look, Brian K. Vaughan's busy. He's done a bunch of other things.
What has he done? I don't know.
Really? You look that up while I talk.
Oh, and
yeah.
Another film.
I think might be another one that has television rights applied to it.
Yep.
Yeah, so but he also did, you know, The Runaways and Ex Machina.
Oh, yeah.
You know, ran Under the Dome for a while as an interesting kind of bit there. Like, he's been doing a bunch of stuff in the TV world as well. It's just kind of, you know, this was some of the earlier works.
I'm just looking at him. He's won 14 Eisners and 14 Harvey Awards, so he's not exactly a fucking slouch, hey?
Well, you know, there's still time to do more. And we're just going to judge him completely on this television show. His entire body of work rests on the success or failure of this television show.
I saw something the other day that made me laugh, actually, where you're like, you know, there's still time. It's like, you know, the great Cthulhu had been, you know, held in his prison for eons and eons. There's still time for you.
Absolutely. Like, oh, ominous positivity. I'm all down for that one.
Yeah.
And I do, yes. I see you chatting in the chat there, Peter, talking about Outbreak. Yes, I know that you can have a capuchin monkey that's real.
Yeah, but wasn't the one in Pirates of the Caribbean as well, you guys?
Sure. But they don't have Disney money. This is just as FX on Hulu.
I like to think there's another version of this show that actually has Ross from Friends and his capuchin monkey. And he's the last man that nobody wants to bang.
That's pretty much what Yorick is, though. But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yes, yes, we are.
we're getting ahead of ourselves here. First off, Quiddy, I think you need to explain who is Why the Last Man and what's it all about?
This is the plot summary from the comic book, but so I will change the date because it says on July 17th, 2002, which is inaccurate. This is set now. Ooh,
dangerous, like big call going for a synopsis of the comic book straight out of the gate.
I'm more than happy to try and do it, but every single synopsis for the TV series is about three sentences.
Oh.
That was pretty much in line with comics. Let's just go to comic synopsis.
Yes. So on July 17th, all living mammals with a Y chromosome, including embryos and sperm, simultaneously die, with the exception of a young amateur escape artist named Yorick and his capuchin monkey, Ampersand. Many women die from disasters caused by the men's deaths, such as plane crashes. Society is plunged into chaos as infrastructure itself collapses, and the surviving women everywhere try to cope with the loss of men and the belief that, barring a rapid major scientific breakthrough or another extraordinary happening, humanity is doomed to extinction. Yorick's mother, a member of the US House of Representatives, commissions Agent 355 of the secret Culper Ring organization to protect Yorick. The two travel to meet a geneticist and cloning expert, Dr. Allison Mann, who works to discover why Yorick survived and find a way to survive humankind. Does keep going. I'm gonna stop there because that's as far as we've got.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I'm 2/3 of the way through episode 5, and that's as far as we've got.
Mm-hmm. Right, excellent. Yeah. So, have we all done the reading?
Yes.
Or the watching? What are we up to? What episode are we up to?
I've watched to the end of 4.
End of 4.
That was what was available when I was watching it.
Right. And 5 is out.
Episode
subsequently
five
been another one dropped. Okay.
Yes.
I didn't jump onto it that quickly.
Yes. Goody.
I had a quiet afternoon.
Goody there, Missy. Yes, I was playing What We Do in the Shadows theme underneath because it was singing about death. You're dead. You're like, that's
I wish
why.
I was dead and out of this world.
It's a song for the ages, but also apt for this. I mean, you didn't want to hear the Nirvana cover again, did you? Because I've got it right here.
Oh, God, no. Please,
yes,
no.
No. Well, good. We're all up to speed. This is quite fun. I've kind of been looking forward to this one for a while because it was just something I could throw my teeth into. In a weird way. Not sink my teeth. I throw my teeth into them.
Throw your teeth into the ring.
Yeah, I'm going to throw my teeth into the ring.
Is that the same?
Yes. You know, toss my hat into my mouth. What?
Yeah. Look, and I've got to say, there are changes. It is different in some fundamental ways, but sometimes there can be fun in fundamentals.
Why the Last Man, putting the fun in fundamentals.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was always going to have to sell a few things for me from reading the comics that I needed it to sell. And so far, I'm going to say 50-50. I'm still not sold on a couple of things, but I've got to say it sold me on a couple of the other ones where I'm like, yeah, all right, I'm down for this. And it sold me on a couple of characters. So that was why I was I'm giving it a little bit of like, yeah, it's not actually too bad, you know?
Okay.
Yes. Nice. How are you guys finding it?
I've just realized that if I talk like this, it looks like I'm talking into a skull. So I'm very entertained by this.
Yeah. A skull that the monkey is concerned about.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, sure. I'm just highly amused by that and I'm going to stop looking at the screen now.
Sure.
I find it interesting. I find it interesting because I think 10 years ago, this would have been some fucking cutting edge shit. If this had been made the way that it is made right now and had been released 10 years ago, this would have blown people's fucking socks off and they would have been like, shit, this is really amazing. Now, I think we've done a lot of apocalypse on TV. And
you're concerned of apocalypse overload.
Look, I think it's good. I think it's great, but I just don't think it's the groundbreaking thing that it was 19 years ago or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Which is a real shame. Like you were saying before, Dan, that like if this had come out ahead of Walking Dead, you know, this probably would have been the thing that people really like, you know, leapt onto and were like, wow, that's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But it, to me, it's like, it's great. It's good, but. So that's my 10 cents.
It's good, but. Excellent. Well reviewed there,
but
Quinny.
Why? No.
Yeah. I'm a little bit on the same page as you, Quinny. Like, it's okay. I wouldn't say I'm crazy about it. I think maybe the comic is a little bit more accessible than the show.
I just really?
Yeah, I don't know if it was a multi-screening issue that I had that I wasn't paying enough attention, but it felt like it was jumping around a bit and kind of hard to follow plot-wise with the story. I don't know if I was missing like, oh, this happened this time, this happened that time, but there was a lot of intersecting of like timelines in the plot in the
first like flashback
three
and stuff.
Episodes. Yeah.
Moving around. Like, is it before?
It happens
after?
A lot in the comic as well, but I find in a reading format it's kind of easier to follow. I gotta say the cast are not really, I don't find them outstanding, so they're not making me want to continue watching.
I'm waiting. Yeah, Peter, you haven't had your two cents worth yet.
I don't think there's any plot points that are compelling to me. I do think it's something that's just been, you know, done to death, and maybe like some of the issues that it's raising with like the trans community is maybe feels a little bit old, like maybe not current enough. I don't know.
That's an interesting point. Like the stuff around the trans community is like, it's an interesting point, but in this, I don't know, to me, it felt like a very difficult plot point to kind of explore. And I think maybe now there would be, I don't know, I think we're 20 years on from when the comic was made, and trans visibility and stuff like that is a hugely different thing now.
Yeah.
And like, to me, they still, in this story, they feel like they're quite small kind of subset and very like they're a tiny plot point. Whereas at the moment I feel like that's, you know, a much bigger story these days.
Yeah. It runs the risk of maybe upsetting people by not giving it the spotlight that it should deserve if they're trying to raise it as an issue. So yeah, we'll see how it goes, but I don't know. I'm not 100% convinced on this show.
Did they actually address the, it's actually why the last cis man issue in the comics. is that part of the comics? I was interested because I'm coming at this completely clean. I've never read the comics. The first thing I thought was when it was happening, I was like, well, obviously not all the men. I'm like, how is this virus choosing which men? And I was happy to see that it was actually addressed. And that we do have trans characters played by trans actors in this show to address that. While the show is called Why the Last Man, why is not the last man? Why is the last cis man? And there are other men who are going to have massive issues compounding now. I thought it was kind of interesting that they addressed that. I did appreciate that they have cast their trans roles with trans actors. Because that should never not happen now. So that was a reason for me not to be cranky with it, which is nice. Missy's telling me that there's a tiny trans men subplot in the comics, but it's not a positive one.
I think that's one of the things to notice about this is like, yeah, this book came out 20 years ago. So I was talking about situations in society that were 20 years ago. And I would say that the idea of visibility and everything that has come through the last 20 years is chronically important to represent at the moment, except this isn't what the comic was about. The comic talked about different things. So this feels a little bit more like, well, we need to update it, which is a fair cop. And I really like that they have done that and they have taken those issues out there, because this is all talking about, you know, chromosomal disease.
Yeah.
And that's interesting. At least they brought it, kind of brought up to date that, because I think if they'd made a straight conversation about the comic, there would have been a lot of other things, yes, but what about this?
I would have been pretty pissed if it hadn't been addressed, to be honest.
Yeah.
I would have been pretty, like, so far I am interested enough to keep watching it, but my socks are still firmly on. Nothing has been knocked off.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. Like, I mean, I think the both of the comic and the TV show are aiming towards that slow, long burn kind of thing. And that's kind of the strength of the show. Like, I mean, the comic, I hope that it is. Because, it can be a little bit abstract in places. You're sort of like, why is this person here and what's this going on? And it all will eventually, hopefully, if it follows the comic, come back down to the strength of the main characters and their interactions. And
one key difference that I'm seeing at the moment, though, is the introduction of the character of the doctor, of whom they're going to search for in episode 4, who is actually a lot more prevalent earlier in the comic series. And I feel like maybe if there was that little nugget, you know, that kind of baiting us to keep watching, I'd maybe be more interested, because right now,
well, episode 5 will get you there.
Okay, yeah. But I shouldn't have to wait till 5.
I mean, look, this is okay. I mean, a lot of there's some significant changes in there, like, and some I don't like, you know. Mm-hmm. Some of the way that they've characterized some people and their decisions or who they are is, I'm kind of like, no, they can't be like that. Yorick's girlfriend can't be this type of person who, you know, doesn't do this. It's like, no, she's supposed to be the blue-eyed, blonde, stereotypical girlfriend, like an all-American girl who goes to Australia. Yes, Australia. and he decides to, like in the comic, he decides he wants to go to Australia. Like, that's the kind of whole thing.
Yeah, but now are you saying that she can't be a person of color?
No, absolutely not. You can be. You can be any sort of person you want. But I was more like, that's not how I understand the reason, because there's a very funny juxtaposition that comes later, like during the whole thing, where it's like, oh, I'm a giant man child who had a completely stupid idea about who people were, and I never respected my girlfriend because I just saw her as this thing.
Sure that men can put all kinds of women into all kinds of boxes.
Absolutely. You know, this is kind of one of those interesting things. I'm not totally sold yet on Yorick. Like,
okay, can we just, so as somebody coming into it clean, Yorick is a dick.
No, 100%.
Is he supposed to be? Because this is a very tough character to get on board with. And I kind of like that it's not like, why the last man and he's a hero who's going to save the earth. And it's like, why the last man and he's a baby that doesn't want to do anything for anyone else.
No, exactly. The whole time he's like, but I have to go to Australia because I need to find my girlfriend. I'm like, can you fucking just not for a minute? Because the whole world needs to know why. You're the only person with a Y chromosome beside your fucking monkey that's alive right now. So can you not?
Yeah.
But and is that the comics? Because this is the one thing that for me, because I love, you know, a bit of post-apocalyptic nonsense. It's great. Yeah. And there are a lot of post-apocalyptic-y things about this that I'm like, really? But just how ridiculous Yorick is, I am finding it a bit hard to swallow. It's the biggest hurdle for me to getting into this show.
Yeah. Yorick isn't prototypical, absolute man who doesn't want to grow up and just can't, like, you know, can't hold a job. Yeah, is an escape artist, is a magician who only doesn't.
Any man that does magic as a profession is probably not.
Kind of, yeah. Like,
wow, that's harsh, but probably fair.
That's part of the thing, and it's part of that stuff where it makes him he can be lovable because you're like, he's sweet, he has a monkey, he just wants to get back to his girlfriend. But also,
I fucking hate monkeys, and I hate men that hang a whole personality on a monkey.
He's a complete narcissist.
I was going to say, this is all about Ross in Friends, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. He was the first Yorick.
Yeah. Proto-Yorick.
And part of, you know, I think, and that's where I think the TV show is getting it correct a little bit with who Yorick is, because he shits me. So I'm watching this going, fuck, that actor sucks. I'm like, no, the character sucks. He's doing a good job. Yorick technically sucks, but you need to like him because he has to have his redemptive arc or the right thing. But the most interesting characters in Why the Last Man isn't the last man.
No.
Like, that's not what it is.
I found it interesting. Like, at one point, you know, our little sort of group chat thing, Felicity sort of said, you know, it's a TV show all about women, and of course the protagonist's a fucking dude. He is literally the last man on earth, and of course he's the fucking protagonist. I was like, yeah, but is he though? Because I don't feel like he is.
Yeah.
He's central to the plot, but I really feel like,
I love that. That's
the, if anything, 350.
I'm going to finish that for him. 255.
Yes. Oh, I agree though.
Yeah. And the Diane Lane character, I think, is one of the key protagonists as well.
Yeah. Yes.
The president, or I don't know how much longer she's going to be the president for. Let's keep watching and see.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's an interesting premise. You know, you've got all the men die, and then shit, like, it's half the population of the earth suddenly dies. And it is kind
Thanos
of...
Thanos would be so happy.
Yeah, absolutely happy.
It's like, bam.
And I think, and Jill, you might, because you've, like, I know that you've read it as well. Did you get the idea
Not all
that
of it. I only got through the first trade book.
Did you get to the sort of side of it? Like, it seems to be happening, like... The TV show seems to be dealing with the consequences of the immediate fallout, where the comic seems to be a little bit further progressed. Like, it's a little while later. And sure, all of this weird shit has happened, but Yorick is just trying to survive by getting around as he is. And and the splinters that you see starting to form in the TV show, where you're starting to see where society's restructuring itself, has already kind of happened in the comic, and then you flashback too much. Like, this is where I kind of go, the TV series is kind of building up to these big schisms, but the schisms have already happened in the comic, and then they flashback to why they happened.
That's why I'm not 100% on board with this, because it just feels like the flow is kind of off. I feel like, you know, uniting Yorick with his mother so early on was
it's a big call.
Like, why not spend a bit more time with, like, him actually trying to navigate a world where, you know, he's kind of wanted dead or alive sort of thing, you know?
And my only feeling on that is maybe that... My only thought is that maybe they did that for the sake of keeping him a dick, you know? Because if he has had however long out in the wilderness and has been surviving... I'm not entirely sure whether it's possible to you know, continue being as naive and idiotic as he is.
Well, to be fair, he's not out in the wilderness. He's just in the wilderness of Manhattan.
It took him a few months to get to DC, but, like, we didn't see any of the progression of that. So we didn't get to experience what is out in the world now, three months on from having men be completely evaporated. Like, what systems are in place now? Like, what are women doing? How are they gathering? You know, what's happening? We got a taste of it, but that is, like, another huge big chunk of a story arc in the beginning of this comic that has just been kind of, like, passed over very quickly with, like, the Amazons.
Yeah.
I think this is one of the issues I have with the kind of apocalypse side of this, is that, yes, if, like, half of the world's population suddenly dropped dead, there would be absolute chaos and there'd be a huge amount of trauma and all of that. But it kind of seems like oh, Dark Ages immediately. And I'm like, I don't know if we get immediate Dark Ages just because all of the men are gone. And it feels very like a 20-year-old kind of plot where they're saying, oh, well, you know, we have to have this one woman because she's the only woman that knows how to work this nuclear reactor because it's so male-dominated. And I'm like, that feels like a concept from 20 years ago, maybe. Yeah.
And I mean, I think
maybe I'm feeling like where it's driving is potentially, while a very valid point to make, a little bit more outdated than when the original story was written.
Yeah, I mean, I think they did it really well in the Marvel, to bring back to Marvel, like the second Avengers Endgame movie, where it was like things kept working, but everyone realized that people had just disappeared. So things became very spread out. There was a complete lack of societal value. Societal ability to do stuff easily. Everything was way more because the skills shortage was massive. And while I kind of agree, I don't think that there would have been a thing of like, oh my God, all of these things are going to happen. I think there would have definitely been a problem. It was like, we have to figure out how to turn the power stations off correctly or something first. And that would have been the driving force, not the, oh, you're the only one who could do it. It's like, there's got to be manuals. Start reading, kids. You know, like, I'm sure women would be fine, but like, as Jill was talking about.
I mean, women are the only one that read the instruction books.
It's true. Yeah. Honestly. True.
And what kind of feels kind of far-fetched because we start off so the kind of we get the flashback before the event, then we kind of get 12 days after the event, then we get kind of 3 months after the event.
Yeah.
And like 12 days after the event, it's like complete chaos. Everybody's rioting, storming the White House and all of that shit. And I'm like, would you though?
That seems a bit like, would you, to be
would
honest.
You be storming the White House? Like, you'd be very traumatized, but would you be storming the White House? Like, what's the point?
I mean, you know, like, after
what's the point
know,
in we, that activity? That sounds like a man thing to do.
Given
right?
The
I'm like, I think rioting is more of a man thing. I don't think women
given,
would riot.
Given the last
we
five,
only riot against men.
Like. Yeah, given the last 5 years of American,
I don't know, there have been some women
American
those
politics,
riots.
I'd
I
be
mean,
like,
the,
oh, Jesus, like, you know.
Yeah, but what's the common factor? Men.
and look, I like the show also explores those things. I mean, Jill, I need to acknowledge, yes, I'm concerned that we're not seeing enough Amazons because they're a crucial group that come through. But I'm really interested that they're establishing basically the patriarchal women's group within this world. Like the daughters of the or the wives and mothers and
the right wing
Republican idea who had an it's interesting what they're saying, like they're putting in the idea that a group of women were defined by their personality and identity was defined by the men that they were with, suddenly start to coalesce when they find that because they don't have that to umbrella to fall under, they start to become very angry. And that is an interesting sort of narrative that they're exploring. Like, that's one of the ones that I go, that's interesting. And I want to know more about that. Because unless they're going to do a fuck ton of Photoshop or CGI, I don't know how they're going to pull off the Amazons easily. And does anyone know, like, do you know what we're talking about when it's Amazon? It's not Wonder Woman, not that kind of thing.
No, not those Amazons.
I'm assuming you mean the Amazons who lop off a breast so they can shoot arrows better.
Yes. And all, but mainly it's not really for the arrows, it's for the religious significance in their brain where they're like, we lop off a breast to show that we're not dominated by men anymore. It's really interesting. Like the comic book has a lot to say about interesting gender politics in a binary gender world, like non-binary gender world, like one, what's one? That's not binary. Singular. Singular gendered planet and one dude.
Mono.
There we go. Monary. But then the TV show is saying different things because it has to. It can't just say the things it was saying 20 years ago.
I feel like the problem for me with the TV show, I mean, everything that you're talking about, Dion, sounds really interesting. Like if you were to push this a step further into more of a genre-heavy like, you know what, the world has completely changed and there is like Amazonian religious sects, you know, and that kind of thing. I would probably be more interested because at the moment it feels a little bit like CW does the apocalypse.
because that was Jeremiah.
I didn't even try that one. Because Yorick is just so insufferable. And while I'm enjoying some of the female characters, others are also fairly insufferable.
Are we talking about the redheaded mother?
I can see the point of her. I can see where they're going with that. I'm finding Hero fairly insufferable, to be honest. She's really hard to get on board with. First episode, I didn't even realise that she and the paramedic were the same person. It took me the whole episode to be like, oh, that's one character, because they just chucked so many characters at us the entire time. It's like I'm interested enough to keep watching, but only because I kind of really like post-apocalyptic stuff.
Yeah. I mean,
that's where I'm at.
I'm trying really hard to like Hero as well. Because,
but the show isn't helping. The show virtually forgets her for most of episode 4 and at least most of episode 5.
Well, you're a whole episode ahead of me. So,
but even like I rewatched episode 4 and I was like, they just kind of gave up on her.
Yeah, look, I mean, Hero is interesting because the story that she the journey that she goes on through the comics is one of someone that you really like and respect and want to succeed to someone that you're like, oh shit, she joined a cult. Yeah. Well, I mean, kind of like, but I think that's the problem that I'm having with the TV show. It's like, I don't like her at the start. And you're supposed to like her. She's supposed to be the...
Oh, you're supposed to like her. Okay, see, I wasn't sure.
In the terms of, like, the way I read the comic, is like, Hero is the perfectly normal,
the much more capable sibling.
Even though she's got problems with the mother, that's fine. There's all these issues there. She's the one who's like, here's my deadbeat brother. He's a magician. Anyway, I'm a paramedic. I've got to go to work. Which is great. Like, it's good to sort of... do that. And Yorick is the one who is man baby, who actually understands in the end. It's like, oh fuck, I've got to be like, I have an important thing that I've got to do.
Certainly fucking hope so.
Now I have a purpose, but he's still a giant man baby throughout the whole thing. And that's where, I'm annoyed that Hero's being slightly fridged.
She's still kicking. She's still alive. Let's not misuse the word fridge.
Sorry. Chilled? Cool-roomed?
Iced? No, all of these just sound murdery.
But to bring that back around to full frame, you know who I'm really liking? I'm really enjoying Agent 355.
Yes!
She's like literally the linchpin so far, and I was like... okay, I'm watching this show because this is a great representation of Agent 355.
Hands down, most interesting character in both iterations.
Fuck yeah. Great, but great casting. I didn't know at the start. I was like watching it going, how could she be 355? I don't know if this could actually be like, oh, no, fuck, that's 355. You know, 355 is an agent of the Culper Ring, which sounds made up, but is actually a real person. That's what threw me finding out about who is this Culper Ring and Agent 355. Agent 355 was technically the first American spy.
And I dig the idea that somebody who operates completely independently, and I love that thing where she's like, I'm going to go back and I'm going to check in with my people. Oh, fuck, I don't have people anymore. Like, yeah. I am now... 100% a free agent.
But that doesn't make her useless.
No, she was not reliant.
And I mean, you know, that's why I love that conversation she had in the first episode with, you know, the new president, which is like, hi, FYI, I'm literally James Bond type person for you now. What do I do? I don't have a mission. Give me a mission. It's like, oh, okay, shit. Right. But yeah, like, I mean, that's the sort of selling it for me, and I'm really glad that they managed to get the casting and the tone of the character right so far through this, because, you know, 355 is ruthless when it comes to maintaining the mission, and also ruthless in dealing with fucking Yorick, who must be the biggest pain in the ass. Like, she's
basically got a babysitting mission from hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except that he keeps trying to get them killed.
And the worst thing is, like, anyone who's ever played a video game knows that the babysitting missions are the most boring, fucking annoying missions.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's like it's like playing, what was that game? It's like playing one of the Fallout games where, you know, you had a companion, and that companion was like, okay, we're just going to sneak over here, and they would just run at the enemy. You're like, no, don't do that again. So like, does anyone else like 355?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Think it's working?
It's great.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, the bedroom gamer in the chat's brought up an interesting point. You know, The Last of Us wants a word. I think...
excuse me? The Last of Us is taking cues.
Yeah.
Maybe that's Last of Us Part 2. I haven't played the second one yet.
Right. No, I think it's going to be an interesting one, because that's another series that I'm very much looking forward to. That, you know, is post-apocalyptic and same sort of thing, just a lot bleaker. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, look, you know, it's a fun day when we get to. So, should we go and have a little clip?
Do you want to rate it first?
Identity
Politics? We're rating after four episodes.
Why not? Technically, four.
It's never gone wrong for us before.
Never.
Okay, I'm going to rate it. I'm going to jump in because I never did. I'm going to rate it a 75. I just looked at one of my other scores from a couple of weeks ago, and it was 75 too. 75 is a weak score that is not saying anything.
What was it for?
I don't fucking know. but 75 is it's not really saying anything much, is it?
I mean, it's a solid credit.
It's a credit, but I'm not sure that the show is. It's above a pass.
Oh, go lower. Go down to 60. Just fucking twist the knife.
I'm going to go 67.
Oh, okay.
Which is also a nothingy number, but whatever.
Lame.
I mean, when you think about it, all numbers are nothingy numbers.
I know, right. Oh, God. Numbers. What even are they? I think that it's a well-made, well-put-together show that I think is doing what it says on the box, and if you know what the box is, that being the comic book, I think if you haven't read the comic, which I haven't, or if you are watching it from the perspective of a modern TV viewer who has seen apocalypses on TV and in movies a lot lately, it's kind of paint by numbers stuff, and it's fine. I will probably be watching it, but it's going to want to do something pretty fucking cool between now and the end of the season to make me really want to stick with it.
Wait till you get to the nuclear war in episode 6.
Cool.
There's always got to be a nuclear bomb somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, there has to be. So, yeah, look, I think it is perfectly serviceable, but I think it's going to be a lot more exciting for the people who've read the comic book than for people who haven't, because it's and yes, Amy, the Underground Fight Club in episode 7.
You know, there's probably going to be one. Like, I'm
sure there will.
I'll go next. I'm going to give it 75. Which sounds like I'm just copying Quinny's original.
Yeah, we just covered this.
But like all men, I just look to my compatriot and take their notes and say the same thing. It's slightly it's hard to watch it through because I'm pushing to get through it because I'm like, yeah, it's not really saying enough yet. And I'm curious to see if all of those plots are going to go through. And this is why I go like 50-50 with the cast. 50% of them I'm like, oh, that's not the right person that I expect to see in that role. And then the other 50% I'm like, wow, they're actually really nailing that one. So I'm just kind of not sure about how it's going to go. It feels like it's going to have to get a lot more interesting as it goes. I mean, I'm really excited to see Missy Pyle. That was someone who I was like, oh, she's doing a dramatic role. Fantastic. Usually it's comedy all the way. But, you know, that could be interesting. I want to give it to the end of the season to see what's going on. As long as they don't explode a nuke, because that has befallen many of the shows I have watched of late. I could list them off, including what was that one? The Guillermo del Toro vampire one.
The Strain.
The Strain. Nuclear one
Which
in
there. It was a strain.
Fear the Walking Dead. Nuclear bomb. It's like, oh, for fuck's sake. Like, stop detonating nukes. You know, it was literally the whole plot of The Stand.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, anyway.
And I never finished the television adaptation of that.
Either you the old one much. Or no. The new one? No?
No, neither.
Oh.
I didn't even try the old one, but the new one. I didn't watch past when we talked about because I was just like, no.
Yeah. I decided to finish it off and hated myself.
Peter, you should get onto this little show called Falling Skies. Like, let me tell you. If you
We're going to have a Falling Skies discussion.
Yes. Yes, we are.
If you stick with it, it gets real good by the end.
He's such an asshole. So I Traveling Jeweler in the chat reminded us that our metric is usually the start at 100 and take points off for things that we don't like. I don't know. It is a tricky one, four episodes in, because I kind of like trust you when you say that there's interesting stuff coming. At the moment, I'm kind of with Quinny in that I don't feel like there's anything particularly groundbreaking about what I'm watching. Having said that, I didn't have to force myself through it. It's an easy watch. Like, I don't mind the idea of watching another episode. I don't feel like I'm going to have to drag myself to it to get further. And the bit where the men actually die in the first episode is appropriately horrifying, I feel. I mean, it's a horrifying concept. I know that we like to joke, but we all have people with Y chromosomes in our lives who we love, and that is the shit of nightmares in that episode.
And everybody's heads start bleeding and then they die.
But also children. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
Yeah. Children is what gets me. Mm. And, you know, points for acknowledging that... Why is not actually the last man in the series and for having some trans representation. So I'm going to sit at 70.
Okay.
It sounds high, but I'm also like, because I'm kind of like, yeah, I'd like to watch another episode. I think that deserves a 70, even if I might be a little bit cold on it in other ways.
I am coming in with a 62.
Oh, Agent 69, you missed a trick. You missed a trick there, right?
69 is too high for me, I think.
I was going to come in with a 69, but I didn't want to, like, step on your joke.
Oh, it's fine.
You're also nice, Quinny.
Let me do the 69.
Okay.
let me build on Jill's joke.
Hello, let Peter. Me just build on Jill's joke. Like, you only have to ask once.
Oh my god.
Okay. Tell us about your 62, Jill.
Yes, 62. Because for me, it's like this shit has been done to death and it's been done really well. And I don't find anything groundbreaking about it. I don't find anything riveting. Man, if you'd kicked it off with the Doctor and, you know, how they did it in the comic, and you're like, oh, what does she know? Like, what could possibly be going on? Like, is she to blame for this? And, you know, ramp up that excitement and that curiosity, and I'm just not getting any of it. Like, I don't care about Yorick. Sadly, not really caring about Hero at the moment either. And can 355 keep me going? Like, she's got a bunch of people around her that are just shit. So, like, why should I care what happens to her too? So, I don't know. I'm struggling with it, which is, yeah, might just be my mood. But I will keep watching it. I'm hoping it'll get better. But.
All right.
I feel like we've well established that we're allowed to rate based on our moods as well.
Sure.
Yes. As long as we're open about it.
Yeah. Well, I'm in a shit mood this week, so fuck this show.
Let's go have a little bit of a clippy clip, the discussion between Hero and her friend, which it raises some interesting points. But we'll go to the clip and then come back and talk all the spoilery things, okay? All right.
He left an hour ago. Took the bikes. Do you have any idea what it's like out there for me? The questions I have to answer. Shit, I have to explain all over again. The city used to be the one place where I felt like I could breathe, and now the walls are closing in, and you just cost me the one chance I had.
I didn't ask you to wait for me. I'm a liability.
They took the rest of the testosterone. For 2 weeks.
Those fucking guys.
God, you fucking hate everyone.
I don't hate you.
Well, you know,
now is that before the horrible violence starts?
Yes, it was before the horrible, but it also raises that very interesting question. Yeah, what happens when, you know, trans people suddenly can't get access to the medication that they need to remain the people they are? It's a good thing, and like the economy of that just suddenly devolved rapidly. Like, I mean, I was more worried about like, wait, how are they making diabetes medication? Because that is probably going to be, you know. There seems to be an underground testosterone market going on that rapidly evolved within 3 months. But I'm going, no, I understand the American healthcare system. The diabetes medication is probably all gone off and they haven't been making more.
But see, they covered that plot line in The Walking Dead. Like, there is so little of this that hasn't been covered off in some kind of post-apocalyptic thing.
Peter, did that make you ask the question... But why?
I guess the thing then would be to say, like, if so much of this has been covered in other shows, like if Walking Dead has covered it, if Jeremiah or whatever has covered it, then what you really have to focus on as a showrunner is the things that haven't been covered, and something that is unusual and specific and different is the trans subplot. Like, to me, that's one of those things that I think should be like pulled apart and gone, okay, let's rework this show and go, how does Yorick survive? Yorick survives because he can pretend to be a trans person. You know, and then you've got this, I guess, in a way, almost a body horror type thing of all of these people suddenly having to re-experience gender dysmorphia and body dysmorphia as they run out of the testosterone and stuff like that. Now, is that a happy, fun story? No, is it? But it is interesting, and it is something that sets this apart because it is about gender identity, or more, you know, than every other fucking post-apocalyptic show that is out there.
It also opens up a conversation for people that probably don't entirely understand what transness is about. And, you know, gives those sorts of people a new perspective on, like, on what a trans person would be going through in that moment.
Yeah.
I think that there are other things that they're starting to touch on that can be unique to this particular plot line as well, which is the continuation of the human race, for example. And they have touched on it in episode 2 with the annoying conservative redhead. What's the name? In terms of like, right, all the men are dead, but we do have sperm banks. So depending on the nature of this particular disease, like maybe it doesn't have to spell the end. How are we going to do that? How are we going to organize it. I always kind of think about when with these kind of post-apocalyptic things, especially the ones where there is a massive wipeout of population like The Stand, like, right, we have to really go back to basics in terms of what is important here, if we're expecting the human race to survive and not just ourselves. And I get kind of annoyed when that kind of thing isn't addressed sometimes, like, you know, going beyond the survival of the individual and thinking about, like, how do we rebuild not just this society, but how do we build rebuild something that lasts? That to me is really interesting. But again, like, I feel like maybe it's a different show. Yeah, that's it. So Missy in the chat saying, well, will newborn babies die as well? Well, like,
in the comic, apparently, like, all of the sperm and everything with a Y chromosome is fucked.
Yeah, so before you can even go into looking into rebuilding the human race, you need to understand why half the population died in the first place, so you don't repeat the same mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, so there is some stuff that is kind of feels unique to this kind of story that I'm interested in learning the answers to. Yeah.
I think it's they haven't really done a lot of exploration outside of the main locations that they've kind of put in yet, and that's where it could become, and they could set themselves as a different sort of place, because, you know, all of the male animals are dead.
Mm-hmm. That's something else that I feel like isn't necessarily as clearly stated. No, is that,
but this, like, is part of the discovery along the animals. Way. Like, this is part of the thing, like the discovery along the way, which you're supposed to, what they're trying to do. Like, they never really explain. They never explain, just to, we're in the spoilery section now, and I'm not sure. Remember, this is the television show, not the comic series. In the comic series, they never explain what was the actual thing. Like, they just throw a bunch of, like, ideas out there, and it is, the comic is basically about a whole bunch of different ideas about what happened and who's responsible and how do we fix it or whatever, meeting together, going from, like, religious fundamentalists or science-based answers, or is it just a weird curse? Like, this, so, yeah, honestly, like, they just take all of these things and all these different groups just, you know, the interaction of them trying to explain their way out of this situation is the thing, and then you realize that the story is about the story they're having all along, and it doesn't really matter in the end. So,
you know what? Nothing actually matters if all of the male everything is dead, because biodiversity is fucked and the world is going down regardless.
And that's part of the thing. That's part of the thing that they go on, but they have tenets about how that kind of works, because, you know, I don't want, like, there's so many different things that could happen. I just don't want to give away any big reveals from the stuff that they did in the, like, in the TV show. Sorry, in the comic book series, it could come out in the TV show, because that's interesting. Like, we all know now, The Walking Dead has just diverged, so it's its own television universe. It doesn't matter what they do in the comics. And that's where I don't know whether or not they're going to be successful in this one. I mean, the big problem, or the easy thing for something like The Walking Dead or other post-apocalyptic television shows, is there's a bad person in this one, like, or a bad thing. It's zombies. They're bad, you know. In this one, there isn't anything like that at the moment. So it's really coming down to the interplay between characters, and I'm not sure it's strong enough to push through past the one season, unless we can find someone we like. That's the big thing in this one. So far, like, I feel that it's coming through. Is like, there's not a lot of likable people. And also, because the monkey's fully CGI, why couldn't they have had a fucking monkey?
I haven't paid that much attention to the CGI monkey. It didn't offend me that much.
Yeah, but I mean,
I didn't notice that it was CGI.
Oh yeah, he's 100% CGI, and that's kind of like, oh, like, would have been nice to have the monkey. And also, you know, Ampersand is kind of attached. Like, it doesn't need a cage. You know, Ampersand in the comic is just attached to Yorick in a, like, a nice way, and does cool things and is its whole character. This one, this Ampersand, is just a bit like, boring.
I mean, yeah. I find it interesting that he is this hugely important thing for Yorick, but, like, without him having a strong personality or anything like that, we don't give a fuck about him.
Yeah.
Like, it's a monkey. He has a cool name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was watching the fifth episode and I was kind of like, God, I want a character that I can like. Just for fuck's sake, give me somebody who's not a complete asshole, please. You know, the president, Diane Lane, is still, you know, being kind of like dislikable and having to make hard decisions, and everybody is kind of being an asshole. And I'm like, just give me something to hang my hat on so I come back and watch another episode, please.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, if I can try and encourage people to stick with it, I mean, like, there's fun stuff that's in there. Like, if they follow the narrative, like, there's ninjas. There's other spies from different countries. That, like, there's, you know, Australia. That's,
man, really like, the entirety of Australia.
Yeah, no, they go to Australia, like, you know. That's a bit of a plot point. Like, they've got to do that. There's, you know, astronauts and all sorts of weird shit.
Yes. The astronaut bit.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of interesting ideas that they throw out there, which is just kind of like, you know, it's not like, this is the thing. Like,
because, spoiler alert, you guys, because you haven't read the comic, the male astronauts in space are still alive.
But also they're trapped up there because, like, it's like Houston.
Is there a problem?
Hello.
Interesting.
Ting 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 ting. Is anyone?
But
there?
Also at the same time, how the fuck do we land?
That's the whole kind of point. And basically, like, can they land? Should they land? Should they not land? It's like, no, don't come up here. You know, all sorts of things. Yeah.
Like, sorry, I'm just still riffing on how fucked biodiversity is. Like, nothing is coming back from this.
So,
like,
this kind of apocalypse is like not good for Peter because her own dad is just going to like go.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the thing. Are all the whales dead?
Half of them.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, even mosquitoes are super key pollinators and they only have a life cycle of like 6 days. Like,
so essentially that thing is fucked within a week.
Yes, because shorter life cycles of creatures cannot procreate means that like probably about half of the world's population of species will be dead within that first three months.
So at least, and now everything is falling apart. God, like, this is, I'm sorry, nothing can come back from this.
Agriculture is going to be fucked because there's nothing.
Food production is gone because there's nothing pollinating it. Like, how far does this go?
Do plants and stuff also, are they missing their pistils and stamens and stuff? Plants didn't suddenly... Drop me some plant parts.
Plants have chromosomes. No. That's the thing.
I can't wait to see the queen bees waking up and going, wow, everyone's dead.
Harold? Michael?
Yeah.
I would be interested to see if they have answers to these questions the television show, at least, because they have certainly established in the TV show that it's animals as well. I don't know, just mammals maybe? I don't know. We'll see. There certainly haven't been bugs falling from the sky. I don't know. But now I'm more interested because I'm like, this is a question that I hadn't considered while I was watching it.
Just remember, like, if anything happens like that, my one true thing is, just get as many guns as you can and take over a Costco.
But it doesn't matter in the end. Like, if all of the, like,
insects are gone. Yeah, but you can have a great time going out.
Animals, like, you don't, sorry. I've just got a little bit more natural obsessed history documentary, like, schism now happening in my brain where I'm like, no, that wouldn't work. That wouldn't work. The world is over. In this world, it's over. It's done.
Yeah,
we're done
I'm with
the
Casper.
Nah, I'd stick around as long as I can. Oh, wait, I'd be dead.
So Missy's asked the question there, us cisgendered middle-aged white dudes, how do we feel about the show? Do we feel attacked by it at all? I the most attacked I've felt is trying to write funny things for the ticker and realizing that anytime I tried to write anything that was a joke or anything, it fell back into really shit cliches about women.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
and I was like, imagine a world with no men. The biggest problem we're going to have is avoiding cliches and making, you know, there'd be a whole new world of humor suddenly brought to the fore. Like that's the biggest, like, I don't feel personally attacked by it at all because I'm like, yep, cool. Yeah. It's a premise that, well, I find.
Did you guys even check out a New Zealand television show called Creamery? No? Mm-hmm. It's pretty much the exact same thing. All the men die, no explanation, mm-hmm. and it's just a women's society, but it's set in New Zealand and it's kind of a comedy.
Oh, and that sounds like fun.
That is something that you can go out there and, have a look at. Like, if you're interested in a lighter side, considering this is very, you know, kind of heavy on that one, you know, go and check out Creamery. It's only 6 episodes, so, you know, you're kind of already done. But that one's kind of funny, and it is, like, what happens when, you know, a small New Zealand town just restructures their society based around women.
Okay.
It's kind of fun. And
if you're looking for it, it is on SBS here in Australia. So
yeah, that makes life easy. You can get it. You can get it for free. But, you know, that one's kind of fun. But, yeah, this one just is seeming a little bit too dark and negative. And part of the thing that I remember about the comic book was that I liked Yorick. He was a dick, but I still liked him because it was kind of like, oh, he's going to have fun adventures, or there are exciting things, or he's doing stuff. But in this one, I don't like Yorick, and I don't like Hero. I kind of don't like the president. And I don't like any of the right-wing Republican women that seem to be building up to some sort of big political movement where it's basically like, oh, Trump.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
this is
totally a coup.
I kind of like 50-55, but she is a bit murdery.
Oh, no, I love that about her. She's a pragmatist. It's like, oh, you two pilots, yeah, you're
sorry, you're I just great. Like to, I'd like to balance those out. You say she's a bit murdery. Dion responds, well, she's a pragmatist. You say potato, I say serial killer.
Yeah, you say vehicular homicide, I say, oh, missed the brake.
She is a bit murdery, yes.
But, like, you know, she's, you know, like, that's kind of what I wanted. I'm glad they didn't deviate too far from the, like, kind of tree on that one because, you know, her job is to protect Yorick from anything while,
like, mostly,
you know,
himself.
Mostly himself. And she's got to be, she is everything. Like, she's not a murder machine. She's not, like, fucking the female Terminator kind of killing people left, right, and center, but she will just make sure that. You know, it's like, well, that's a loose end. Fuck, I'll have to tie that one up. Jesus Christ, not another one, Yorick. And it's all because of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They fell on the bullets.
But this is, they had it coming. But this they is, had it coming.
But this is what I kind of
they wanted. Only had themselves to blame.
I would also like to point out that the reason that she has to murder a lot of people is because of Yorick.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this whole sort of thing. I don't feel too much guilt for Agent 355 because, like, if he just did what he was fucking told,
yeah.
She wouldn't have to murder a bunch of people all the time.
When he first shows up and starts, like, and has a panic attack, I was like, okay, I have some sympathy for him. I'm like, okay, this is an interesting thing of a guy who is, you know, probably not great at dealing with the world anyway, and now the world is all the more fucked. And, you know, man's naked having a panic attack. You're like, okay, that's a bad time for you. I feel sorry for you. By, I don't know, later in that episode, I was more than willing to punch him in the face and say, sit the fuck down, you long-haired dipshit.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so annoying.
I'm sure you've had a lot of practice with that thought process in your social life as well.
I feel personally called out there, Pete. Thanks. Some long-haired dipshit that Quinny's like, God, fucking shut up. Sit down. Shut up.
Sit the fuck up. Sit the fuck up. Shut the fuck down.
Yep.
Yeah, he's not. I don't know. I kind of want him to get more likable. I don't know if I want to just be able to, like, hate the only sister that's left, but it's... He's a big part of the show when it's hard to watch. He's not even shitty in a funny way. He's just shitty. Like, if he was shitty in a funny way, I'd be like, cool, I'm on board with this. This is entertaining. But no, he is just like a baby in a I want to knock some sense into you way, which, you know, unnecessarily violent, but it's what it conjures.
Just stop short with murder, Pete. You can knock a bit of sense into them. Just you don't have to murder them. It's okay.
Mind like a character that you love to hate, but this is a character that you kind of hate and it's irritating.
Well, got any more to say about Why the Last Man?
No, I've had enough.
I think I've had enough too, and it's only a couple of days away until Spooktober.
Woo! Yeah.
Does that mean we have to do a whole month's worth of spooky theme shows?
Can we?
Oh,
okay, why not?
We haven't written the shows yet.
We've already got Friday.
This Friday we're going to look at Star Wars Visions. That means that between now and Friday, I've got to watch a fuck ton of Star Wars Visions because I haven't.
What a terrible task episodes. For you!
I haven't watched any of it yet.
How awful for you, a Star Wars
join
fan,
us on Friday and we'll talk about Star Wars Visions and see if anime can translate between a ripoff of a Kurosawa adaptation to the American audience.
Yeah, can it like
and
it
then go
eat
back
itself
in itself? Wait, a filmmaker stole Kurosawa, made a Western adaptation, and now the Western adaptation is being remade as a Japanese anime?
That looks an awful lot like a Kurosawa film.
Episode one. That's the first episode.
Yeah.
We're in one of those rooms of just mirrors. Everyone's like, oh, it's just the same, but backwards.
Yes, and you know, if you stand between two mirrors, you get stuck and your soul disappears into the nothing.
Interesting childhood, Quinny.
I went to Reliquare in Tasmania.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm pretty sure that that some of those dolls in Reliquare were a Horcrux. there's a couple of them in there. You're like, yeah, you definitely contain the soul of someone who died.
No, there was an amazing bit. It doesn't exist anymore because it burnt down because of all the souls.
Yes. I wonder why it burnt down. Didn't it start up again?
Go into this bit and it was all mirrors above, below, the whole works. And I'm pretty sure that's where children wandered into and their souls got sucked into the thousands of dolls around the
shop. Yes, and a new doll appeared in the doll section. You're like,
oh,
okay.
I want to see this movie.
Why can't we do that?
We're making a movie called Reliquare.
You know what, Quinny?
Based on a true story.
Because why not? We could do it. It'd be like the Blair Witch movie, but we'll do it set in Tassie.
I like it.
There you go.
Blair Witch meets Annabelle.
Oh, dear.
It's terrifying and I'm there for it. And the weird thing is that when you went into the shop, they always gave you fudge. It was very nice fudge.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was the fudge made of the boiled down people.
Fudge made of heroin because they just like, oh, can I have another little bit of fudge? And like, yeah, it's over there for $10.
Of a bitch. The first one's free.
But we've got stuff coming up next month. I believe Bedroom Gamer was like, oh, what about Foundation? Well, maybe that's coming up. Oh, fuck. Foundation, that's out there. Has anyone watched Foundation?
Did I actually say that on Sunday? I think I did.
Yep.
Ah, oh, damn it. God damn it.
Oh, dear. And what else is coming out? Oh, we might be able to go back to the movies soon.
Oh, yes.
We could finally see Shang-Chi. That's how you pronounce it, right? I don't know because I didn't see any advertising for it because we weren't allowed to leave our house.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah, well, I mean, we could see Shang-Chi. We could see Free Guy.
I don't know when Venom is opening here in Australia. Yeah. I mean, the unfortunate thing is looking ahead for the next couple of months, our release schedule is just a fucking wasteland of shit that has been released in America, you know, at least a month ahead of us. So,
yep.
Yeah, good yep. times. We all watched Free Guy recently. That was interesting.
Yeah. Look, I'm actually excited for November because Tiger King 2 is coming out. So there you go.
Is it just going to be 10 episodes of that dude on his jet ski talking about how he was the linchpin and he did nothing?
Fuck knows. Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm just kind of like, yeah, but haven't had.
Or will it be like a whole series of glow ups? Like the ex-boyfriend that got his teeth done.
Yeah, might be nice. I looked at the trailer and I was like, really? There's more?
Really? I even feel like Joel McHale's like little interview thing was like real flogging a dead horse. How do you make another documentary series about this? Plus a dramatized movie.
Agreed. I mean, and the fact that they're making that movie on the Gold Coast at the moment is fucking terrifying. I think my favorite thing out of that was seeing G.I. Joe Exotic.
Lesson do they, kids? What lesson do they take at the end? Which is like, take math, kids. The more you know.
Yeah, Cobra starts using tigers and then Joe sings his song to them.
Jesus,
it's fucking ridiculous. There's a bunch of F's in the chat, so yeah. I think we can get a free guy in there.
A free guy. If we can get to see Shang-Chi finally, maybe we'll talk about it.
I know that we are definitely looking at doing a spooky Halloween-ish or at least horror, scary themed animates.
Horror animation.
Spoopy animation.
That looks like it's perfect for the 29th, but we'll get to that schedule. We'll put that up at the start of start of the month. So I'll have it ready by Friday. Maybe that. How's that sound?
Nice.
I know you're all waiting for it. Yeah. All right. Excellent. Well done.
Very exciting. Very exciting indeed.
Problem solved. Why the last man? Why bother? No. No.
I'm looking forward to Why the Last Episode. No.
Oh, Jesus. Too harsh. Yeah. Too fucking harsh. Give it a minute.
Yeah, no.
Quinny, actually, you don't want to Orville this shit.
No, I really don't. I don't.
It could turn out like amazing. They could have an underground fight club and a nuclear blast all by episode 7. It's like, poor. Cool. And then Harry Potter.
I'm not ready for that.
I'm alive.
All the stops.
Excellent. Send us or make any comments about stuff that you want us to talk about. Sure, chuck it in the chat or suggestions for next month. It's whole of October. Spooky themed things. Anything spooky themed.
Yeah.
And then I'll work it out with Peter at some point. We'll talk about the scariest television show that ever happened and why it was Falling Skies. Because it never got a plot narrative resolved. All right.
I think that we'll definitely be having fun spooky times.
Yes, fun spooky times is all times. All right, everyone. I'm going to say goodbye. Are you going to go rate anyone, Quinny?
Pocket has just fired up for the evening. So let us go and raid them. They're good people. We like Steph and the gents.
Yes.
From Back Pocket, so we might go and say hello to
Witcher
them.
Season 2. Cool. Oh, that's coming soon. Yeah, anyway. Okay, we'll go to that.
Oh, yes. You're very excited about that one, aren't you? Good.
Are you saying goodbye or what's going on?
I'm saying goodbye, yes.
Fine. Well, press the button for fuck's sake.
There, I'm rating with 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.